Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Are you hungry for the Word of God?
Yes.
Me too. We're going to be in Isaiah 42, Isaiah chapter 42. The prophecies of Isaiah about Jesus, the Messiah, deliverer, our Savior, our King. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we love you so much. We thank you for your awesome word, your inerrant, infallible, wonderful word to us. Especially, we're going to look at Isaiah. We're going to be in Isaiah for a couple weeks as we approach Passover and Resurrection Sunday, and time where we look at and focus and celebrate the incredible sacrifice that you gave to us when you gave us your Son Jesus. We thank you that you loved us so much that you gave him to us, so that we wouldn't perish, but we could have everlasting life and a new covenant through him. Just so many incredible new things, as Isaiah will tell us, that you're doing new things. And just like you, when you always prophesy through your prophets and through your word, when you always, whatever you say you're going to do, thank God that you're not like man and you don't follow through on them. But whatever you say is going to happen, whatever you say you're going to do, you do it, and it happens. It's guaranteed, as Pastor Harvey always says. Guaranteed. So we thank you. Thank you for your incredible word. So help us to look at these incredible chapter where Isaiah talks about the servant of the Lord, because we want to learn. Just get excited about what we see and how this applies to Jesus, but also we want to see how it applies to us, because we also are your servants, Lord, and we want to be just like Jesus. We want to walk, talk, act, live just like Jesus. So we thank you and praise you for what we're about to learn from you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I just mentioned in the prayer, you know, we're entering the time of Resurrection Sunday or Resurrection Day. Trying to get away. I don't like the word Easter. I mean, I know everybody's used to hearing Easter, but it actually is a the word Easter, as many of you know, you've all studied it too. Talks with a about a god. It's a name of a goddess or something. The word Easter came in through the Catholic Church, and this time of year is where we focus on the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, which really is a type. The Passover was a type of what Jesus did for us, and God's calendar celebrates Passover, where the Passover lamb, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, was slain for us. So as we get close to that, it's going to be on April 1st this year, Sunday, April 1st. And I looked at the Jewish calendar and God's calendar, the Jewish holy days and feasts, and I believe they're actually the same day this year. Yeah. So that's good. And if falls on years where they're not on the same day, it's good too, because we just get to celebrate it twice, yeah, as Christians. But I'll explain some of that later, maybe, if the Lord wants me to go there. But we want to focus on, I love Isaiah because Isaiah gives so many prophecies about Jesus, the coming Messiah, so many different awesome descriptions and pictures of him as the servant, the branch, the suffering servant, the glorious coming, conquering king. So we're going to take time up until Resurrection Sunday to focus on some of the prophecies that Isaiah has to share with us about the coming of Messiah and the work that Jesus would do as our Savior and Lord. So, like I said, today we're going to be in chapter 42. And this prophecy is where Isaiah focuses on Jesus and calls him the servant of the Lord. And Isaiah gives us a description of what the duty of the servant of God, Jesus, the Messiah, is. And as we look at how it applies to Jesus, I want to look at how it applies to us also, as New Covenant believers in Jesus. How it applies to us as servants of the Most High God. I know that we're children of the Most High God. A lot of times when the word servant is used, it's synonymous with son or a child of God. But we are specifically servants of God. Servants and ministers. A minister means to serve. You're serving. You're a servant of the new covenant. I believe this is so important for us because in 1 John 2:6, the Apostle John says, "He who says that he abides in Jesus ought himself also to walk just as he walked." So we want to follow Jesus' job description as a servant. Right? So this will be a good way for us to see how a servant of the Lord is to operate for the Lord. The duties of the servant of the Lord. Whenever Isaiah talks about a servant, it applies to all those that God's used throughout history and time to accomplish his will. But when you hear the term servant today, I want you to think about Jesus and us and how it applies to you. So think about when I say the word servant, think about how it applies to Jesus and how it applies to us. And I will explain a little bit more about that as we go along. So let's read verses 1 through 4, Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands all wait for his law or for his instructions." The word law means teachings, instructions. The whole world is waiting for Jesus' teachings and his law and instructions. So just from those first four verses, we can see that Jesus was very gentle. He was very calm. He was filled with the fruit of the Spirit. He was completely filled full of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And if you turn to Matthew 12, we can look at how this was actually fulfilled. Matthew 12, we're going to look at verses 13 through 21, gives us a great picture of how the servant of the Lord, Jesus, does his ministry. And think of how, as you see Jesus doing his ministry, think, hey, this is how I should be doing ministry. This is how God wants me to do ministry also. Are you there? Matthew 12, verses 13 through 21. You'll get the picture here, okay? In this whole chapter, the Pharisees are after Jesus. They're trying to catch him in anything that they can to pin stuff on him, to make him seem like he's wrong. They're just attacking him. But we'll start in verse 13. "Then he said to the man," remember this, "stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. "Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might kill him. So this is a pretty violent situation. All right, these guys are mad. And how does Jesus respond to them? Does he get mad? Does he get in the flesh and start yelling and screaming back at them? You know, that's exactly what Isaiah said. He wouldn't do that. Isaiah prophesied he's not going to raise his voice. He's not going to fight with them. He's not going to argue with them. That he would be gentle. So let's go on and read the rest of it. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him. He will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. So how does this apply to Jesus and us as servants of the Lord? Well, a chosen servant of the Lord is full of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And in these verses, in Matthew 12, it reveals the character of gentleness, encouragement, justice, and truth. And remember, we're all called to walk just like Jesus walked. Then in verses 3 and 4, he said, He will not break even a crushed reed. He will not put out even the weakest flame. I know many of us have heard wonderful messages of encouragement from this verse, which talks about, you can apply it to us as believers and servants of the Lord, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're going through, what our circumstances are, we may feel like a broken reed. We may feel like the flame of the Holy Spirit or the flame of our ministry has gone out and like we can't do anything. But what does it say? He will not crush a broken reed, and he will not put out even the weakest flame. So as his servants, when we feel broken and bruised or burned out in our spiritual life, Father God won't step on you or toss you aside as useless, but will gently pick you up and cause you to burn brightly for him through the oil of the Holy Spirit and always restore you. He's always into renewing and restoring you. You don't have to worry about him throwing you away, tossing you aside. Never, ever let the devil tell you that he's done that with you. So, and also, it applies especially to, Pete was sharing with me this morning how the Lord's just been stirring him up about all the injustice in the world and things that have happened in his life and things that we see going on in the news. And, you know, there are so many people out there that are broken reeds and feel like their light is about to go out and they have nowhere else to turn to. They don't have any idea what to do. So these loving attributes of the servant of God are desperately needed in the world today. We, as the children of God and as the servants of God, need to see the things that are going on. And how can we help these people in the world? Well, first, just like Pete does, through prayer and intercession. Just that's the first place we always start, through prayer and intercession. Go to prayer and intercession. Go to the very throne room of God. Go to the judge of all the earth and let him know that you're tired of this and you want him to send forth some decrees to stop this stuff. And you'll be part of helping him to stop and deal with this. So through God's Spirit, we can show sensitivity to all those that are around us, reflecting his goodness and honesty to them. And obviously, our main goal is to share the gospel with them. Always remember this. We want to be part of helping people socially, economically, health-wise, feeding the poor, doing all those things. Jesus told us to do all those things. But if we're only ministering to the temporal things and not sharing with them and getting them healed for eternity, then we're really missing the mark. Our main goal is always to share with people about their eternal salvation, their eternal destiny. You can use your good works and ministering to them and trying to help them as an opportunity to share the gospel with them. But always remember, the absolutely main focus and main point that we want to get across and share with all those that God brings into our life is, where are they going to spend eternity? How do they become right with God? How can they have peace with God? So a servant is always gentle, loving, kind, patient. And we are servants of the Lord, as stated in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26 gives Paul gives specific instructions to Timothy how a servant of the Lord is to handle himself in his ministry. And it's kind of funny coming from a guy who used to run around yelling and screaming. And remember Paul? Paul was not, before Paul got converted, he was not a very calm, gentle, loving kind of guy. Okay? He was going out, hunting down Christians, breaking into homes, breaking into synagogues, and throwing them in jail and getting them imprisoned. But anyhow, after Paul, you can see the miraculous change in Paul, the supernatural healing of Paul, that he's a new creation in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. He tells Timothy this is how a servant is to conduct himself. As the Lord's servant, you must not quarrel. You must be kind toward all, a good and patient teacher who is gentle as you correct your opponents. For it may be that God will give them the opportunity to repent and come to know the truth. And they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has caught them and made them obey his will. Amen. Amen. So now I'm going to read Isaiah 42. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 now, just to reiterate some of what I just shared. This is from a newer version, so just listen to it. Isaiah 42, 1 through 9. Here is my servant. This is the one that I support. This is the Father God talking. And remember, who's he talking to? Jesus and us. Who's the servants of the Lord? Jesus and us. We are, absolutely. So just think that the Father... Look at the Father saying this to you. Of course, we know he's prophesying about Jesus, and he's talking to Jesus. But he's also talking to us. Take it personally, okay? This is the word, Father God, to us. He says to us, here is my servant, the one that I support. He is the one that I have chosen, and I'm very pleased with him. I have filled him with my spirit, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry out or shout or try to make himself heard in the streets. He will not break even a crushed reed. He will not put out even the weakest flame. He will bring true justice. He will not grow weak or give up until he has brought justice to the world and people in faraway places will hope to receive his teachings. The Lord, the true God, is the one who has said these things. He is faithful and true. He created the sky and spread it out over the earth. He formed the earth and everything it produced. He breathes life into all people on earth, and he gives a spirit to everyone who walks on the earth. I, the Lord, listen to this and apply it to yourself, although we know he's specifically applying it to Jesus also. Verse 6, I, the Lord, was right to call you and give you power to see that justice is done on the earth, Pete Cullabelly. right? Isn't that what you've been feeling? That the Lord's been sharing with you? I will hold your hand, and this is the really cool part too. I will hold your hand and protect you. He's with us all the time. He is with us all the time. Jesus said this in John 8:29, and he who sent me is with me. Just imagine how encouraging and how much strength this gave to Jesus right before the garden, after the Last Supper, right before the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was crying out to the Lord, "Lord, if there's any way to take this cup away from me, take it away. But not my will, but yours be done." He knew what was coming, but he knew that Father God was with him the whole time. He who has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. The next part of Isaiah says this: through you I will make a covenant with all peoples. Through you I will bring light to the nations. You will make the blind able to see. You will free those who are held as captives. You will lead those who live in darkness out of their prison. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Say, he's talking to me. That's what he's called us to do. Again, we know these are specific prophecies for Jesus the Messiah, but it's for us too, because we are his servants. And Jesus lives in us. Jesus is still doing his work in and through us. Verse 8, I am Yahweh, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another. I will not let statues or idols take the praise that should be mine. Hallelujah. As I shared earlier again, in the book of Isaiah, Israel and the Messiah and many others are referred to as servants. Israel was God's servant. And what was their purpose? Why did God call the nation of Israel? The same thing. To bring the knowledge of God to all the earth. To show what it means to walk in fellowship with God. What it means to be God's people. That's what he's called us to do. Jesus the same, the true servant. What did he do? He came to show the Father. Hebrews says he's the exact representation, the exact likeness of the Father, so that people could see who God is, what God looks like, how does he act? Does he, you know, all his attributes.
And they never heard that.
Right. And we also are his chosen servants. And our job is to be just like Jesus and Israel and show the world how great his love and power to save them is, and what a blessing it is to be in covenant relationship with Almighty God and to be his own very special people and children. Jesus said, remember, just as the Father chose Jesus and sent him into the world as a servant, what did Jesus tell us? Jesus has chosen us, and he said this. He's talking to the Father. He says, Father, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world.
Meaning us.
Amen. So really our job is to carry on the work of the Father gave Jesus. So let's look at the job description, just some of the points that Isaiah gives us for servants of the Lord. Apply this to yourself. Remember, the Father says, here is my servant, the one that I support. Here is the one that I've chosen. And know this, that I am very pleased with them. But here's the description. I have filled them with my Spirit, with my Holy Spirit. To be a servant, a true servant of God, you must be born again and filled with God's Holy Spirit. There's just no question about that. My servants will bring justice to the nations. They will not cry out or shout or try to make themselves heard in the streets. They will not break even a crushed reed. And they will not put out even the weakest flame. That means we're willing to minister to everyone and anyone, no matter what their situation is. Nobody is too far gone. Nobody is too hurt. Nobody is too lost for the Lord to save. Our God is mighty to save. He can save everyone and anyone. So we minister to every race, nation, tongue, every social, economic status and level. We don't just minister to the rich. We minister to the rich, the middle, the poor, all of them. Amen? And, of course, the way we do that is by walking in and ministering through the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit. The servant of the Lord will not grow weak or give up until he has brought justice to the world. The servant of the Lord is willing to go to faraway places so that all nations can receive Jesus' teachings and the light of the gospel. The servant of the Lord, listen to this. Now, this is a very powerful one. Will enable people to come into the covenant relationship with God. All peoples. We get a part to not only steward the gospel, but have you ever thought that you get a part to work alongside with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit to bring them into covenant relationship with God? That kind of changes the ball game a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, we've heard to go preach the gospel, share the gospel, but we get a chance to bring them into the new covenant so that they can get born again, filled with the Spirit, become new creations in Christ. It's amazing. It is an amazing opportunity and blessing to be a servant of the Lord. Through you, the Lord says, I will make a covenant with all peoples. And you will make the blind able to see. Spiritually, physically, both. You'll free those who are held as captives. You will lead those who live in darkness out of their prison. Hallelujah! And Jesus said in Luke 4:18-19, the Spirit of the Lord, this is for Jesus and for us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? So that he may be glorified. Hallelujah. As servants of the Lord, that's our ministry. That's how we're called to minister. I think it's a pretty good job description that Isaiah gave for Jesus. And we know Jesus is the ultimate servant of the Lord. He has called us to be his servants too. He has chosen us to be servants, and he has sent us. Just as the Father, Jesus said, just as the Father sent me, I send you as servants of the Lord. So, Father, we're so grateful to be your servants, Lord. Your sons, your daughters, your chosen ones. And, Father, we ask you today that we will leave here with the knowledge of our job description, that you want to use us to bring many people into the new covenant with you. You want to use us and Jesus working in us and through us to help the blind to see, set the captives free, get those out of darkness, bring them out of their prisons, Father. And Father, we know that your promise is that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's why Isaiah said, that we won't grow faint, we won't grow weak, we won't give up, we won't get discouraged, because we know that you are with us. You are with us, and you have given us our strength to do this. So we thank you, and we look forward to ministering to each other right now as we worship and ministering to you. And we look forward to being your servant and serving you through the power and the fruit of the Holy Spirit this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we get into worship, I'm going to read just a few more verses from Isaiah, which totally reminds me of Margot. Just listen to these next verses and tell me if it doesn't remind you of Margot talking about praise and worship. Sing a new song to the Lord. Praise Him everywhere on the earth. All you who sail on the seas, everything in the sea, all you people in faraway places. Let the deserts and cities, villages of Kedar praise the Lord. People living in Selah, sing for joy. Sing from the top of your mountain. Give glory to the Lord. Praise Him, all you people in all the lands and all the earth. Amen.